Hi, this is Saqib Rahman from the OrthoClips podcast series. And today we are talking with Dr. Scott LaValva, who's a PGY4 orthopedic resident at the Hospital for Special Surgery. And the title of our podcast is Do Robotics and Navigation Increase Infection Risk in Total Hip Arthroplasty? Thank you, Dr. LaValva, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Rahman. Really appreciate you having me on. Excited to chat about our work. We're pretty excited about it.
Great. Yeah. You and your group published a paper I wanted to talk about. It was entitled Robotics and Navigation Do Not Affect the Risk of Periprosthetic Joint Infection Following Primary Total Hip Arthroplasty, a Propensity Score Matched Cohort Analysis. A little bit of a mouthful. This was in the April 3rd, 2024 JBJS issue, but basically you kind of state the results right there in the title. So we'll get into it, but why don't you tell me first, how did you get interested and involved in this study? And then, you know, kind of the group also, why you guys decided to look into this, but I'm also just interested to hear your personal involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in terms of the original conception of the study, all the credit here really goes to the PI on the study, Dr. Alberto Carli, who's really a renowned expert in PJI. So with that in mind, just by nature of Dr. Carli's research, clinical practice, and high rate of PJI referrals, it's not surprising to imagine that he spends a ton of time thinking about this problem, both from a preventative and a therapeutic perspective. And as anyone with experience treating PJI is well aware, prevention is really of utmost importance given its hugely detrimental impact on patient morbidity, functional outcomes, and even mortality. So when we think about that in the context of some significant trends in both hip and knee arthroplasty over the past decade, the rising utilization of technology assistance in the OR, whether that be computer navigation systems, the use of a robot, you know, it's really obviously a major one. And then from a PJI perspective, we hypothesize that this could be important for two main reasons. First, the literature in general has shown that the use of technology leads to longer operative times compared to manual techniques, and that's on average, not for everybody. And then second, anyone who's been in the OR for a robotic case knows very well that there just tends to be more going on in those rooms. The room's a little more packed, there's additional personnel, additional trays, the actual robot itself, plus additional incisions for pins or arrays. So that sort of prompted our group to ask the question of whether each of these factors might increase the risk for contamination in the development of periprosthetic joint infection after a total hip.
Can I ask, you know, anecdotally, you said you guys get a lot of, you know, referrals also for PGIs. Anecdotally, were you under the impression that perhaps, well, it seems like your hypothesis was that there was no difference, but so anecdotally, you were not seeing, or maybe questionably were seeing, like maybe more of these were robotics or navigation, or were you hearing people talking about it, but you guys weren't really anecdotally seeing it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that we weren't necessarily anecdotally seeing a higher rate of PJIs or PJI referrals in patients who had robotic or navigated procedures. I think it was more of just the observation of being involved in those cases. Like, you can sort of, there's just a difference in those rooms when you're in a manual hip or knee and a robotic hip or knee. Not necessarily better or worse, but that was the question we wanted to ask, right? So when you have all this other stuff going on, additional instruments, additional personnel, all of this other stuff, you know, obviously every arthroplasty surgeon is petrified of contamination. And it's generally well aware of everything that's going on in the room. And so when you look around and see these other things going on, I think that sort of prompted the hypothesis or the question of, you know, do these things, does all this other stuff going on in the OR matter? And does it lead to an increased risk of contamination? In addition to the other stuff, the operative time and whatnot.
Right. And those things, you know, operative time in other studies has shown to correlate with increased infection risk in some studies, and then increased, you know, OR traffic or exposure of trays due to, you know, airborne particles. So there are some evidence to certainly make that, you know, possible leap that if that stuff is happening. So tell us about the study. Let's talk a little bit more about the study design, your results, what you found.
You absolutely. So, you know, when we were thinking about the design of this study, we, of course, were thinking about it in the context of the prior literature that exists, looking at manual versus robotic or manual versus navigated procedures. And, you know, there's been a decent amount of that to date. But most of those comparative studies have focused on identifying differences in things like implant position, stability, some patient reported outcome measures. And so they've either one, not looked at PJI, two, looked at PJI, but as an underpowered secondary outcome variable, or three, looked at PJI and did not totally account for known confounders. And so with that in mind, we simply wanted to compare the incidence and the risk of PJI with within 90 days after total hip in patients who underwent manual hips, computer navigated hips, or robotic hips. And we wanted to do that using a propensity score matched analysis over a 3-year period at our institution. And so in applying that methodology, we identified almost 13,000 patients who underwent primary unilateral total hip arthroplasty for osteoarthritis. Most of those, about 8,000, underwent manual total hip, whereas 2,678 underwent navigated hip and 2,026 underwent robotic hips. Propensity score match cohorts were then developed using a multivariable logistic regression model based on age, sex, BMI, smoking history, Charlson comorbidity index, surgical approach, data surgery, the order of the case, both by surgeon and by operating room, and then the anesthesia type. So after matching, we essentially had two different analyses. There was, you know, first there was 2,644 manual hips, which were compared to the same number of matched navigated hips. And then we had a separate set of 2,003 manual hips, which were compared to the same number of matched robotic hips. After matching for each of the groups, there were no significant differences in covariates between the groups, on univariate analysis. And then, you know, the primary outcome of the study was the development of PJI within 90 days, which was defined according to the 2011 MSIS criteria. So in terms of our results, first for the manual versus robotic hips, the mean operative time was 11 minutes longer in the robotic hips compared to manual hips, which was a statistically significant difference and also clinically significant. When looking at the development of PJI at 90 days, there were 9 PJIs in the manual cohort compared to 8 in the robotic cohort, which was a 0.4% incidence for both. And then our logistic regression analysis demonstrated that the use of robotic assistance was not associated with a difference in the rate of PJI. The odds ratio for that was 0.9 with 95% confidence interval of 0.3 to 2.3. And then similarly for the manual versus navigated hips, there was also a statistically significant difference in operative time between the groups, but this was slightly less pronounced with an average of 3 minutes greater operative time in the navigated cohort. In terms of the rate of PJI, there were 6 or a 0.2% rate in the manual cohort compared to 11 or 0.4% in the navigated cohort. But again, on logistic regression analysis, navigation was not associated with the difference in the rate of PJI. The odds ratio for that was 1.8. 95% confidence interval was 0.7 to 5.3. So really, to summarize these findings, we found that despite longer operative times associated with the use of technology, the use of these tools was not associated with an increased risk of PJI within 90 days of total arthroplasty.
Want to briefly comment on the strengths and weaknesses as kind of you discussed in the paper, and you can just briefly explain for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest strength, you know, we really just, I think our study design was relatively simple, straightforward, and we focused on matching for essentially all the confounders that we could have that we know impact the risk of PJI. So I think that, you know, we had a large single center study that was specifically aimed toward identifying if there's a risk between these cohorts. That was our primary aim. Our primary outcome variable was PJI, and we controlled for confounders. So in terms of the context of the literature, that was really the biggest strength of the study. In terms of some weaknesses, you know, one, anytime you're looking at these types of studies at a single center, there's always question of external validity. Are these results, comparable to other institutions? Are practices regarding, you know, infection control and all of these things are going to be different from institution to institution. So that's an important consideration. Another important consideration, our background infection rate is low. It's 0.4, 0.5%. And so with that in mind, our primary outcome was PJI, we did do a power analysis, which demonstrated that we had 80% power to detect a 2.4 to 2.7 fold increase in the likelihood of PJI in the technology cohort. So even though we were powered as best we could, we were still a little bit underpowered. And so if there is a difference in the rates of, you know, 1.5 to 2 fold, for example, we may have been underpowered to detect that. So I think that's an important limitation of the study as well.
Yeah, one, I think that's, you know, firstly, really well-designed study, in my opinion, and for looking at something, I think for looking at something that has a very low incidence, so, you know, it is going to be hard to, you know, it's a retrospective, you know, study, and I think this might be something very difficult to design as some kind of, you know, randomized study or prospective study, just because, you know, the numbers would have to be massive, given at least the infection rates at your institution. I think an honest assessment of the strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, one other thing, you talked about the generalizability. Looking at the data, I'm sure that, at your institution, there's a lot of, patient selection, and obviously, a lot of institutional, protocols and pathways to minimize infection. But, you know, patient selection, interestingly, in the same issue of the JBJS, there is an article about, the ethics of doing total joints in obese patients. And I think your average BMI, if I recall, was 28 to 29. So kind of in the overweight range, but I think a lot of people listening to this are thinking if all their total joints were 28 to 29, maybe they wouldn't have so many infections either. And so does that matter? Do you think the patient selection that is, if this was, you know, a patient population where you're introducing those other factors, patient factors that are increasing risk for infection, you think the results, I mean, this is speculative, but the results likely still hold, or is there going to be something that's going to change because of that?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I wish that I had a range of BMIs in front of me for the patients we had in the study, because like you said, yeah, it's around 29, the mean. I can tell you from an institutional perspective, because I actually am doing some other work looking at doing total hips, total knees in obese patients from our single institution. So we have plenty of patients who get who undergo arthroplasty in the 40, 45, 50, 55 range. Certainly not the majority, but we do not utilize a strict BMI cutoff at our institution. And so while I can't say for certain, because I don't have the range in front of me, there were definitely patients in this cohort that sort of fell in that BMI over 40 range. But I think your point is extremely well taken. I think if I had to guess, we know that obesity increases the rate of almost all complications, including PJI. And so if anything, that would just increase our signal. But I can't think of a good reason why robotics or navigation necessarily would impact that risk of PJI differently in patients with a BMI 45, BMI 50, or BMI 28, 29. But certainly possible and something we could look at.
Yeah. What kind of reception have you had with the paper? I know this was presented, national meetings for, I believe was it musculoskeletal?
Dr. Carley presented this as a podium, in 2023 MSIS, the Musculoskeletal Infection Society.
Infection Society, right. So tell us, what do you know what the reception's been, or critique, or sort of praise for the study from the community?
Yeah, I think overall the reception, fortunately, has been very positive. You know, as we mentioned, this was presented at that meeting. This paper was fortunate to be accepted in JBJS. We actually performed an identical study for total knees and had similar findings, which was that there was no major difference. And this was recently published in the Journal of Arthroplasty as well. I think in terms of, you know, the biggest critiques of the study, it's mostly the things that, you know, we've been talking about and that we've been very, you know, upfront about, which is that it may be the case that we need either a registry, a national registry, or a systematic review meta-analysis to truly answer the question of whether technology is associated with a difference in the risk of PJI, just because, you know, we were still relatively underpowered. But overall, I think it has been well received, because when we consider that the trend of robotics and navigation is not going anywhere, and it's going to continue to grow in utilization. And so to have this sort of reassurance that it doesn't seem like all of those other things that we hypothesize are important in terms of the risk for PJI, it's definitely something that surgeons and institutions are interested in.
Great. Any last words you want to say about future directions? You hinted at a few other projects you're working on, but on this topic, any future directions that are being considered?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I sort of mentioned, that our findings really provide reassurance in terms of infection risk with the use of intraoperative technology, which is an important consideration given the projected growth and utilization of these tools. But there are plenty of questions that remain that need to be answered as it relates to manual versus navigated or robotic procedures. Most importantly, whether their use is associated with an improvement in long-term outcomes. So whether that be, you know, things like stability, patient-reported outcome measures, patient satisfaction, reducing the rate of short and long-term failure mechanisms. I think we really need those data in order to justify the cost of widespread adoption of technology assistance in the operating room. And I think as a field, that's going to be a really important and critical future direction.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, and it's worth, if any of the listeners are wondering, I'll just say that there was no external funding received for this study. Conflicts of interest seem to be pretty much nil with the authors on this. So, of course, I'm sure the robotics and navigation industry will receive this paper very well. However, there's been no funding or conflicts of interest declared by the authors, in case listeners were wondering. Well, I think this is a great topic, lots of future direction for this. I think this does answer some questions in some surgeons' mind, and maybe centers that are doing this, and you know, maybe patients as well. I want to thank you. With that, we're gonna conclude things. We've been talking with Dr. Scott LaValva at Hospital for Special Surgery on whether robotics and navigation increase infection risk in total hip arthroplasty from his group's paper in the April 3rd, 2024 JBJS. Congratulations again on your publication, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Ramon. Thanks so much for the opportunity to come on and chat. It's been fun.